You are listening to Punk News Podcast, episode 631. Finally, after 3 months of me being totally behind the ball, we are caught back up. And listen, Punk News Podcast listeners, this is a special episode because this is the first of many, 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 many episodes that M. Moore is going to mix because I am lazy and totally, totally, totally busy. And also M. Moore wants to do it. But M. Moore, if you don't want to do every episode and only want to do every other episode or something like that, let me know. And then step back in and we'll teamwork it. We'll hand off the baton back and forth, just like Brazil in the 1984 Olympics. And so that's an homage, a reference to something that actually doesn't exist. I was trying to think of something that was famous for handing off, and I couldn't think of anything. So I came up with Brazil in the 1984 Olympics. Which I don't even know if there were a 1984 Olympics. I'm going to Google right now to see if there were a 1984
I hope there was.
Olympics. Let's see. There was a 1984 Olympics, and it was a Summer Olympics. So there was a Brazilian handoff in the Olympics, and it was held in where? Los Angelinos.
Cool.
And so anyways, that's your Olympic history for today.
Wait, what was your mascots?
I don't know if it had – not every Olympic had a mascot. It looks like that Olympics did not have – that actually might have been before the Olympics had a mascot. I think the first Olympics mascot might have been 1992 in Spain because I distinctly remember it was like the fox that like fenced or whatever.
That's cool.
I think that was the first Olympic mascot actually. And not every Olympics I think has a mascot. Barcelona 92 – that was the little fox with the mascot. Then there was a, like a horrible one that was like a whirlwinder or something. It was like Buzzy or something. Do you remember that one, M? Buzzy the mascot?
I've never heard of Buzzy the mascot.
It was a terrible mascot that lots of people said was bad. And unlike Gritty, which everyone hated, and then somehow everyone was like, oh no, actually he's hilarious and is awesome. And actually
Gritty.
Well, I don't like Gritty because he's mean. And I don't think mascots should be mean, you know. I'm kind of sad because he's sort of overshadowed the Philly Fanatic, which is the greatest mascot of all time. And I'll add that the Philly Fanatic is not mean, where Gritty is mean. So you know, I'm not thrilled on Gritty, but listen, Philly quite clearly has the two most famous mascots in professional sports in the entire world, which is pretty crazy.
Wait, do you know the mascot for the Toronto Maple Leafs who are playing tonight?
I know
their second playoff series game thing.
Yes, I believe it's Tony the Toilet Plunger, right? The anthropomorphic Toilet Plunger.
That would be funny.
Toronto Maple Leafs.
It's Maple. Carlton the Polar Bear.
That's kind of cool. Let me look at him.
Yeah, he's cute. It's
just is that a nice mascot? I bet he's nice.
Yeah, he's nice. He gives people hugs.
Does he engage in mischief, though, like the Philly Fanatic? Playful mischief as opposed to mean-spirited mischief like Gritty?
I'm not really sure. I've just seen him on the TV the odd time. He gets up on the riser and he's like, yeah, you know, getting people to dance and stuff. And then hugging little kids.
Like the Fanatic will like get behind the opposing team and do like bunny ears and stuff, and which is funny and not mean spirited. Oh man, the Dallas Stars mascot sucks ass.
What's the Dallas Stars mascot?
Victor E. Green, and it's just like it's like a Philly Fanatic ripoff, and I don't even know what the hell it is. Anyways,
okay.
And what's your stance on mascots? Do you enjoy mascots?
I think mascots are fun because like they're just like they're wacky and they give you something to look at and. You know, like if the person inside the suit's having fun, like it's all good. There was one of my favorite, like, needless mascots of all time. The CN Tower had a mascot for one summer and it was called Towery. And it was literally a CN Tower. And they had to discontinue it because people kept getting heat stroke because the suit was so bad. But like it was around for, I don't know, a couple months. And then they canned it. Do you like mascots?
Yeah, I like mascots. I definitely like mascots. However, I remember one time I was at the ball game and the Philly Fanatic stood right next to me and my friend. Mascots smell horrible because they're these gigantic suits that they probably don't clean hardly at all. And they're sweating in there all summer long. They smell absolutely wretched. I mean, mascots really do smell bad. So they can't help it, I guess. Anyway, and more this week.
Yes.
This Saturday is Record Store Day. Are you engaging in Record Store Day?
I am not engaging in Record Store Day because it is my parents' wedding anniversary. So we're going to celebrate.
What are you guys going to do?
I think we're gonna have a dinner and just kind of celebrate the wonderfulness of love.
Well, they are you cooking dinner for them?
I think we're getting something.
What are you getting?
Going somewhere. I'm not sure. I just know something. So I am gonna do something nice. I just haven't figured it out yet.
Well, I will be engaging in Record Store Day, and I'm going to Electric Avenue. I'm going to get there about 5 a.m. I'm going to suffer for 3 hours, and then I'm going to grab a whole bunch of crap. I'm going to run down the list real quick.
Yeah.
Like you said before, this Record Store Day really is kind of kick-ass. I know a lot of people are kind of jaded and burnt out on Record Store Day, and I get it because honestly, prices were super high, then they dropped down, but then they shot back up again, so it is kind of expensive. And a lot of Record Store Days, the stuff hasn't been that good, but this time, it's just one of the better ones for sure. Let's see here. Some of the cool stuff that I'm definitely shooting for. let's see here. Let's see. Bear with me. Well, Generation X is reissuing their first record. I'm probably not going to get that because I'm not sure what the point is. I think it's just a reissue of the first record, which I already have original presses of the USA and UK version. But let's see what else here. Billy Joel Live at Great American Music Hall. But I think I have that already, actually. Like, I'm pretty sure I do. So I probably won't be getting that. Ooh. I'm batting 0-2 right now.
you'll find the good ones.
Here we go. I might get this depending on how, because this is probably going to be pretty expensive. Motorhead Lost Tapes Volume 4 Live in 1984, which is cool because that's Motorhead as a four piece, which is definitely my favorite era of Motorhead, which was their shortest, well, it was a short lived era. Stevie Nicks Live in 1981, which is just a vinyl version of the CD bonus disc of the reissue of Belladonna, but I don't care. I think that's super cool. And I'm definitely psyched to get that. Here's the real winner. All Free LSD EP. And it's barely an EP. It's almost like an album. It's got like 10 tracks on it or something. Looks like there's a Lee Scratch Perry album with The Orb called The Orb featuring Lee Scratch Perry, Upsetter Live at Star House Session. That's probably one of those records where they just sampled Lee Scratch Perry and dropped him over electronic beats, which aren't that good. But let's see. Here's another big hitter. Ramones Pleasant Dreams Unreleased New York Mixes, which I'm super psyched about. Keith Richards' Vintage Vinyls, which is his greatest hits albums, might just be kind of cool to get that on vinyl. Let's see here. What else? A couple of other really cool things. Sly and Robbie versus Roots Radic. I might pick that up, but that's probably going to be kind of expensive. Let's see here. I know a lot of people are going crazy over the Taylor Swift double LP. Like some places have like 50 copies of that and stuff, and they think they're going to sell it all, which is kind of crazy. Tom Club, the first album reissued. Peter Tosh Live in Boston, 1976. I actually have the CD of that, and that's a great live record. And so yeah. So anyways, I'm gonna go to Electric Avenue at 5 a.m. Then I'm gonna run up to the Rock Shop in King of Prussia at 8:15. Then I'm gonna run down to Jupiter Records at 10. Then I'm going to run over to Sit and Spin Records in Philadelphia. Then I'm going to meet up with my pals to go mini golfing, and then we're going to go and get some food. And that is what I am doing on Record Store Day. So it's going to be 100 miles an hour. Also, M. Moore Van Halen is re-releasing live right here, right now, with Sammy Hagar in like 1992 for LP. I think it's about $100. Who is buying that bullshit? I mean, Sammy Hagar is terrible, and even worse than Van Halen. So who is going to spend $100 on? And the fact of the matter is even if you like Sammy Hagar, Van Halen, which I don't know who would, but even if you do, 1992 is considered the worst era of that era of the band. So who wants a 4-LP version of that terrible live album that you can get anywhere in a 99-cent bin anywhere? M, for $100. M, yes. Who is buying that garbage?
Someone who was tricked. Somebody who has just gotten into the band and someone told them, hey, this is really good.
Who's going to say that?
An asshole.
Fair enough. All right, let's play a song and come back. M, I'll let you play the song because you're going to be mixing it in. What song are we going to play?
Ooh, okay. Well, let's play the Linda Linda's Too Many Things because we're going to be talking about that.
Too many things I've left behind. Not even
And we are back, and that was Linda. Linda's doing too many things. And one question before we actually get started. Kepi Ghoulie's going on tour. I'm a huge fan of Kepi Ghoulie. I'm actually a bigger fan of Kepi Ghoulie Electric than I am of Groovy Ghoulies. I like them both a lot, but I think Kepi Ghoulie solo electric is better than Groovy Ghoulie. Actually, I don't know if that's true or not. I think they're equal. But anyways, okay. Kepi's gone with a full band. Finally, he's finally getting back to the East Coast after like 4 years. And he's playing Pittsburgh, Washington, D.C., New York, Boston, Portland, back to New York, Cleveland. Oh. Why is Kepi skipping Philadelphia? He's got between Maryland and Buffalo, he's got a three-day break, and he's totally skipping Philadelphia. Why, Kepi?
You think it could be like a surprise, like last minute show, or like he's saving on it?
That's a dumb idea because you want people to come to the show and buy tickets. You know what I mean? That's a stupid idea.
So are you going to travel to see him?
Probably not. I'm filming my dwarf show just a few days after that, so I'm pretty busy. If he was playing in town, I would definitely go. But I'd like to see Kepi Electric again. But frankly, if I go up to New York, I'm looking at $100 in tolls, $60 in gas. Oh. You know, plus parking. And honestly, at this point, like, I'm kind of over driving back from New York at 2 a.m., so I would probably just get a hotel. So, like, do I want to spend $350 bucks to see Kepi Ghoulie? Not really, sad. I mean, I'd like to see Kepi for sure, but, you know, I don't want to make a whole two-day ordeal out of it. You know what I mean? I just wish he would play Philadelphia or even, like, Asbury Park or something. I don't know what the dude's deal is. And I've asked many, many times, and I can never get a straight answer. Anyway, that's the weirdest of Kepi. I'm a big fan, but, man, the guy just will not play Philadelphia. But here's something that is related to Philadelphia that you can listen to this if you are in Philadelphia. Rancid have announced their first new album in about 4 or 5 years. Oh, actually, also, before I even get started, listeners, we have got to compliment Em Moore. She's been running the website on her own basically for the past week and a half. But Em, on Monday, I will be back because I'm throwing a show on Friday. I'm going crazy on Saturday. Sunday, I'm doing like Sunday, I'm going to my parents' house to help them out with something. Then I'm going to see Cat Fight in Philadelphia. Monday, I will be back. So there's that. At any rate, kudos to Em Moore for running it. Em, are you feeling burned out? Are you feeling worn out? Are you feeling as though people are taking advantage of because you are running the website almost single-handedly? Are you annoyed?
Well, you're all going to get my bill. Soon it's going to be millions of dollars. No, it's fun because, it's fun to see, like, what's going on and everything. I am trying to do, like, about 50 other things, so it'll be nice with, like, you know, you're back.
you're billing me for the time that you're putting into the Punky's website.
Yes.
Okay. Well, let me put together my back due bill of about 16 years, and we'll see how that adds up.
I think it's good. I think it'll work quite well.
I'm doing a great job. Anyway, Rancid have released the first album in about 4 or 5 years. It's called Tomorrow Never Comes, and it's their first album back with Mr. Brett behind the producer desk in a long time. I guess, did he do Indestructible, Mr. Brett? Let me take a quick look here. Do you know him off the top of your head?
No, I'm not a big Rancid fan.
Let me take a quick look here.
Yeah,
so Indestructible was produced by Mr. Brett. Did he produce Let the Dominoes Fall? He did. Did he produce?
Wow.
Oh, maybe he's done he's done every Rancid record there is. That's weird. I thought it was like a big deal that Mr. Brett was back, but he's produced them all. So what am I talking about? At any rate, here's a fun. I just read this actually on Troublemaker. A lot of the songs were actually meant to be Tim Armstrong solo tracks, and Joey Castillo are on drums. How do you like that?
Oh, that's cool.
So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 of the 17 songs on the last Rancid album were supposed to be Tim Armstrong solo.
What happened there?
They didn't have enough good songs for the album, I think. That's what happened.
Ooh.
So anyway, the new album is called Tomorrow Never... No, the new album is called Tomorrow Never Knows, and that's the name of the single as well. And I got to say, we beat on Rancid kind of frequently a lot on the podcast, and I sort of think it's undeserved because Rancid is a great band. Rancid 5 is an incredible album. Outcome the Wolves is a very good album, although the more and more I listen to Outcome the Wolves, it seems like a cartoon to me. It feels like a romanticized version of what punk rock would be to someone that doesn't know anything about punk rock. Whereas I don't really feel as though I think the songs are great and I like hearing the stories, but I don't feel it really speaks a whole lot to me. But I do love Rancid 5 a lot. At any rate, the reason I bring that up is because Tomorrow Never Knows, the opening track, or Tomorrow Never Comes, the opening track is kind of reminds me of Rancid 5. And actually, if we look at the running times here, it's the longest song on the album, actually second longest song on the album. But most of the songs are a minute 12, minute 21. Minute 25, minute 50, minute 25, minute 34, minute 26, minute 39. So maybe this is going to be kind of like a return to Rancid 5, Rancid's best album. It's also their shortest at 28 minutes, which I think is very smart because the last, I don't know, five Rancid albums have been way too long. I remember getting Let the Dominoes Fall, the day came out. I got the Ultra Deluxe Edition that had the demo CD and the guitar picks. I was like, yeah, the new Rancid album. And it is painful to get through that album. That album is so boring. So that being said, Tomorrow Never Comes, I really dug his opening track, and I think this might be a return to form somewhat for Rancid. That being said, I didn't think Tomorrow Never Comes was like the greatest track ever, and I was a little surprised to see it as a single because it's not super catchy, super memorable, but it does have the energy and intensity of Rancid 5. So I think it's going to be a very good, not great album. But that being said, I actually pre-ordered. This is the first Rancid album I've pre-ordered ever since Let the Dominoes. Actually, no, I didn't pre-order Let the Dominoes, so I bought it from the store. So this is the first Rancid album I've ever pre-ordered ever, actually. And so I dug the track. I think Rancid definitely still has the magic in that, you know, here and there, Tim and Lars will have killer tracks. But actually, there's something else to tag on to that I'm going to mention in a second. I think the cover is kind of boring. It's like, here's the four of us. Hooray. Like, wow. Rancid actually usually is not that great with covers. Like Troublemaker, that cover is lousy. I know it's a generic street punk album. Honors All We Know is just a picture of a guitar. That's a lousy album. Let the Dominoes Fall is them mean mugging, but I'm not convinced because they're all short. Rancid Indestructible is kind of a lousy album cover, like the back of Lars' head, like looking down Sherman Palms. Let's see what else is there. So yeah, man. I mean, but Rancid 5's got a killer album cover. I gotta say, it's just a skull and crossbones, but it looks real cool. And so yeah. So anyways, Elmore, did you dig this track? Are you excited to see what Rancid comes up with next?
I did not really like this. I don't like Rancid. They are not my thing. I don't know. I just like, I can't get into them. I don't, there's just something there. I don't like them. I've tried and they don't click with me. Like, I understand why like people like them because, you know, they do have a lot going for them, but it's just, there's just something.
You don't even like Rancid 5?
I haven't listened to Rancid 5 in full, I don't think. I think I've just listened to handfuls of songs kind of here and there. And, like, I can't get into them. I don't know what it is. It's funny because, like, growing up or whatever, like, getting magazines and, like, seeing online and stuff, everyone's like, oh, yeah, I love this band rocks and all this. And then it's like, okay. It was just, like, didn't get it. I'm trying to think if there's another one that was, like, the same thing. There was another band that people were talking about and like absolutely just raving and I couldn't get into them, but I don't remember what they're called right now. But anyway, yeah, no, I don't know. Like, I listened to the song for the podcast and like watched the video, and I like the video where it's like, you know, that black and white filter over it, so it's like it's more like kinetic and it's kind of fun and whatever. Like, I like that visual style, like that was cool. But yeah, no, the song didn't grab me. It was like, it was decent. Like, it was okay, but it wasn't something that I wanted to listen to again. It wasn't something that I really wanted to hear more from, I guess. But yeah, no, I don't know what the Rancid block is.
Well, part of it is that they are so popular, and part of it is the songs are, I mean, really, Rancid songs are kind of just kind of pop songs at the core of it, which is why they're so good. And also, like you said, they are a band that kind of is a cartoon of themselves. But that being said, Outcome the Wolves is a classic. Every track is a banger. And Rancid 5 is just a bulletproof hardcore album. So I definitely dig that. The other thing to bring up, though, M. Moore, is in pure Tim Armstrong style, it's like, He's like, guess what? I've got a new band with Jesse Michaels. We're back again. And everyone's like, hooray. It's a new. And then he's like,
yeah.
And then here's something else. You know, and then here's something else. Like, he just throws so much out into the wind. And it's like, well, a lot of this is okay. But I feel like if you just threw out every idea that you had, if you actually like picked one idea and really worked on it, you could have something that's absolutely great instead of something that's just kind of good. He had the Junkyard Gang band with Tippa Irie, which was a cool idea, and the songs were all right, but they weren't amazing. And it's like, I feel like if you worked harder on these, then they'd be a lot better. Or a lot of Tim Armstrong solo stuff. It's like, I feel like if you worked harder on these songs, they'd be a lot better. So, you know, I don't know. And how do you think this affects Doom Regulator?
Ooh, I liked that song. That song was cool. I hope it doesn't affect them, but I think it's going to.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, like everything's going to go into Rancid, going into like, you know, they'll probably be touring, or they'll be doing more press, or they'll be doing like, you know, a bunch of different stuff Rancid related, and Doom Regulator will get put kind of on the back burner. So like, that's kind of the thing where is that a good thing that it is? Like, because sometimes when things do get pushed back, when they get returned to, it's even better than it was before. But it also seems like with Raid, it was, they were on the cusp of like releasing more stuff. And that's how I read that. Again, I could be very wrong, but like, it just seemed they had momentum at that point and they just kind of stalled. And, you know, maybe because they got pushed back for their original like name, like Bad Optics, maybe that played a part, maybe it didn't. I don't really know, but I think it's going to affect Doom Regulator. I hope it doesn't, but it's going to.
One other thing that I will add is Jesse Michaels in classic Jesse Michaels style. He issued sort of a unclear statement. He said that Doom Regulator is definitely a thing that he's into, and it's going to be a slow burn, and that like maybe the second half of the year or even next year is when we're going to get some more stuff from them. He says there is a hardcore track, and I think he said there's another track that's totally different than both ska and hardcore. But he also made reference that he's in two other bands, and so the one is hopefully Classics of Love, which is amazing. But what's the other band that he's in? You know,
interesting.
So we'll see.
I thought he wasn't going to do Classics of Love anymore. I thought he was retiring the name.
Well, he's been maybe the current Classics of Love, the band that is a three piece with that guy. I think Michael Legion. No, I'm sorry. That's not the guy that's in it. Dumani, Al-Sharaf Dumani or something like that.
Right.
That's the new Classics of Love. Maybe he means that band and they're just going to change the name, you know?
Could easily be, yeah.
But what's the other band that he's in?
Something completely new.
Or is it his folk project that he had, the Passage Walkers?
I forgot about that.
Or is it Operation Ivy?
Interesting. A lot to think about.
Let's see here. Let's go on to our next story. I'm a little unprepared today, but we'll get through it. Crap. What was the thing that we were going to talk about instead of the thing that I just nixed? What was that? Love and Rockets. So Love and Rockets. Oh, so this is interesting. So Love and Rockets have expanded their tour. They're doing an East Coast tour. Although everyone's like, Love and Rockets is back. Love and Rockets is back. They're going on the West Coast tour. They're going on the East Coast tour. But they're only doing like 3 dates and like 7 dates. Like, that's not like a worldwide tour. It's like 2 weeks, you know? So everyone's like, Love and Rockets is back. It should be like, Love and Rockets is back for 2 weeks. Love and Rockets is back for 2 weeks. You know, and like I said, I'm not apologizing for my statement that Love and Rockets. I'm sorry, I love Bauhaus, but Love and Rockets is just painfully boring. And like everyone's like, no, actually, John, Love and Rockets is a good neo psychedelic band. It's like, no, I think everyone's just lying to themselves. I think they want Love and Rockets to be good because it's basically Bauhaus without Peter Murphy. But it just isn't. It just isn't. But anyway, the point being is there was an interview at Brooklyn Vegan with, was it David Jay of Love and Rockets? Daniel Ash of Love and Rockets, where he said some real interesting things. First of all, he implied that the Love and Rockets reunion, it might be like the last Love and Rockets thing. And it's like, it's not going to be an ongoing thing. It's just going to be like this. But even more so, when asked about Bauhaus, what did he say?
Ooh, I haven't read the interview yet.
I think that, okay. Here's what he said. Basically, he said that there are no plans for any Bauhaus things right now. And he sort of insinuated that like Bauhaus is, oh no, actually he was asked, so is the Bauhaus reunion over? And his answer was yes, it's over.
So
he wasn't saying that they'll never reunite again, but it looks like Bauhaus is totally over, which is not surprising to me because they canceled the tour that I had four tickets to for one show. And then they said, well, we're going to – no, they canceled that. They didn't postpone it. Then Peter Murphy says, I'm back out of rehab. I'm going on tour as David Bowie. And it's like, oh, I thought that it was going to be Bauhaus. And then like a week later, they're like, Peter Murphy's postponed until the fall, the David Bowie show, which no one saw coming whatsoever. So at any rate, and more, it looks like, I mean, this is just gossip, but it looks like Bauhaus is over or over for right now. Are you sad? Are you surprised? Or is this what you expected?
Well, okay. When they announced like the reunion dates or whatever, it was like, okay, cool. They're going to like stick it out. They're going to like, they figured out how to be with each other. They figured out maybe to like each other almost, you know, maybe the tension's gone, you know, and then it's like, ah, is deluding myself, you know, like there's obviously lots of things happening that way. So surprised, but at the same time, not surprised, because it's like, yeah, if it's a slog for you to get together with people and to like tour the country and no one's having fun, then it's like, what's the point of it? You know? Like,
the point is money, Em. There's a lot of money on the table here. Although maybe not as much money as we might think, because I thought for sure the entire tour would sell out, but it didn't at all. There was like a lot of open spots. Like I was really extremely surprised by that. Like they weren't even selling out like 2,000 seat theaters or 1,000 seat theaters. Let me see how big the Fillmore is in Philadelphia, or not the Fillmore, the Met in Philadelphia. Met Philadelphia capacity. Let me see.
Do you think that's because people thought like it might get canceled? So they're I don't want to.
3,500, much more than I thought. Okay. I mean, that's a big theater, 3,500. But even so, I thought Bauhaus would sell that out because it's freaking Bauhaus. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like the biggest goth band ever and the best goth band ever by far. There's no other goth band nearly as good as Bauhaus, even though Bauhaus says they're not goth. That only makes them even more goth. And listen, what goth band is even in the same tier as Bauhaus? Sister of Mercy? No. Mm. I like Sister of Mercy, but they're no Bauhaus, you know. The point being is I was really surprised that it wasn't sold out. So where was I going with this? I forget. I'm sort of in a fever dream, Emmore.
Bauhaus, are you surprised that they are not a thing?
No, because they hate each other a lot. I mean, I'm not surprised at all, actually. They really hate each other. And I wonder, like,
why, though?
Great question. Great question. Like, how can you hate each other that much? Like, there comes a point where a band, like has hated each other for so long, and there's so much money on the table, they're like, you know what? Like, it's just a job. You know what I mean? Like they don't talk backstage. They don't practice. They just show up and play and leave and don't talk to each other because there's a lot of money on. So like the hatred is so old, they don't even care about it necessarily, you know?
It's just there.
Right, which might be the same as the band we talked about earlier tonight that a lot of people don't want to admit to themselves, but is actually the truth. But anyways, but like somehow the wounds are still fresh, you know, like the Ramones hated each other, which was so dumb. I mean, the Ramones' hatred of each other was so dumb, you know, like it really was.
Yeah.
But like they hate each other for so long, they're like, we're just going to get on stage and play and like not talk to each other and just whip through these songs. But for some reason, Bauhaus, like the wounds are still open, you see. So, like what could it be? You know what I mean?
Betrayal of some sort. It has to be.
But how could you be betrayed that much? Even Morrissey and Johnny Marr, regardless of whether you like Morrissey or whatever, they still talk to each other and conduct Smith's business together, you know?
Like, that's true.
And actually, a certain punk band known for hating each other, not Black Flag, who really do hate each other, another one. They don't hate each other as much as a lot of people think, actually. And until recently, a reunion might have been sort of vaguely kind of maybe possibly in the cards. Not going to happen now, and I don't want it to happen, honestly. But that being said, is as much as they hate each other, they're still able to function as a unit, as a business unit, if you will. Bauhaus can't even function in any unit, you know. So like, what's the deal? You know, actually, one question, and Peter Murphy admitted that he went into rehab. Dealing with a drug addict is extremely difficult. Extremely difficult. So maybe that's the answer, you know.
Or do you think it's like, we are, even though we shun the goth label, we are goth and we will not let our wounds heal because that would be ungoth.
You know? No, and here's why. Because the architecture, the archetype of goth built around Bauhaus isn't really Bauhaus at all. The guys in Love and Rockets are actually Ash. He loves motorcycles and like driving on motorcycles and hang like they. Peter Murphy definitely is Peter Murphy, but he is not the stereotypical goth. You know what I mean? Like he's just a freaky, freaky dude. And I got some inside stories that are freaky, man. The other three guys are kind of just like normal blokes, if you will. I mean, they might have been goth way back in the day, but I think, like, you know, like a lot of punk legends, some of them just kind of grow out of it, you know? And so, no, I don't think they are clinging to any idea of what goth is because I think they view themselves as beyond goth. I mean, Bauhaus came out of punk rock and maybe post-punk. They were heavily influenced by bands like Magazine, Pill, and also like Marlene Dietrich and like a bunch of German stuff. And so I think they view goth as very limiting, and that's why they bucked against the tag for so long. So no, I mean I enjoy your idea, but I don't think it's a bit they're too goth. I just think they're extremely mad at each other and maybe drug addicts and whacked out people. I think that's the answer. And anyway, I mean, listen, if you want to go see Love and Rockets, have fun. I'm sure it'll be a good show if you like Love and Rockets. I just don't understand why anybody likes Love and Rockets. They're just so boring. I'm sorry, Love and Rockets. I'm sorry. But I want to like it. It's like I've tried so many times to like the Grateful Dead, and I'm just over it.
Oh, no.
I can't stand the Grateful Dead. Oh, I've tried to like Santana. Santana is just boring. You know, I've tried to like Love and Rockets, Tones on Tail, Peter Murphy solo. It's just all so boring, with the exception of Peter Murphy's last solo album, Lion, which was great. But here's the thing that a lot of people are saying is not boring. Spy, which is yet again another New Jack hardcore band that everyone's talking about. They are putting out a record called Satisfaction. And it's going to be out June B via the Hot Triple B Records, which puts out a lot of New Jack hardcore. They also released a track called Big Man. And they released an EP called Habitual Offender in 2021. And more Spy.
Spy.
What do you think?
I like Spy. I think they're good. The thing is, they're one of the bands that they do hardcore and they do it really well. You know, like it's interesting in that it's done very well, and like they are like mixing some stuff, like the lead single, Big Man, like it's fast, it has like ripping parts and stuff, but then like the instruments, like they have a moment of like almost like melodic kind of feeling before they get like super heavy and very like metal influenced, and the vocals are super aggressive and like very lo-fi, but like the instruments aren't, and it's a really cool sound. So Spire interesting because it's, what's the album going to sound like? Is it going to sound like this? Are they going to be like mixing things up? Are they going to be taking like influences from like different like genres? Are they going to be leaning more into like the alt rock side of things that a lot of like hardcore bands are doing now? Are they going to be doing their own thing? Are we going to get are all the songs going to sound the same? You know, it's really interesting because there's so many hardcore bands that are releasing or have released like their full like debut like full length albums this year, like Gel did, Initiate, Military Gun is going to be. So like the Gel,
I thought you said hardcore bands then. We'll talk about that later.
Well, like Initiate rips, like they are so good, and like they do that thing where it's things are different and mixed in, and it's super rad. And like the new gel is pretty good too, and it's so cool. But yeah, no, I wonder what Spy's gonna do, like how they're gonna take it and what's gonna happen, because the EP was good and stuff, but it's what are you gonna do, you know? Are you gonna focus on doing hardcore well? Are you gonna expand? What's your game plan? What do you think of Spy?
I think they're comp. I mean, I'm not gonna try to be. I'm coming off as a total hater on this episode. I did like the Rancid track a lot. Yeah. Spy sounds good. It's good hardcore. But I've been hearing this band since 1998. You know what I mean? like it's all well done. But like, what's fresh or interesting about this? I mean, I've been hearing this band for so long. I guess for people and their crowd base is much younger, and maybe their crowd base hasn't heard a lot of the bands that have come before them. So in a matter of speaking, maybe this band is a certain, I mean, not this band, but like they're functioning as a sort of Rancid for a lot of people in the 90s, not me, because I was in the Clash first, but like a lot of people heard Rancid, like, oh my God, Rancid is the greatest band ever. Like, well, it's kind of just London Calling mixed with some Specials, really. But, you know, they're like, no, it's Rancid, you know. Although, actually, I would say Rancid actually is somewhat unique, to tell you the truth. But yeah. So that being said, this band, it's good. Would I see them live? If I was at a show and they were playing, yes. Would I go see them specifically? No. Would I buy the record? No. It's just well-done hardcore. But I guess one thing that actually does kind of annoy me a little bit with a lot of the new Jack hardcore bands is there's always been a lot of posing and tough guy, mean mugging in hardcore. And now it's like more than ever, except for back in like the late 80s and early 90s. And not that I'm a fan of Fury of Five or Stickman, but like Fury of Five would constantly mean mug. And that's because Stickman would kick your ass if you like started something with him. But a lot of these like new Jack bands, like they're constantly mean mugging and they're all like 5'6". And they're really just like, it kind of reminds me of hip-hop in 2015, 14, 13, where there were so many manufactured hip-hop bands. Like, in the 80s and 90s, like, the thing with hip-hop was authenticity. Ice-T was a real gangster, you know? Eazy-E was a real, real gangster. Suge Knight was a dangerous guy. It was all about authenticity. And then in, like, 2014, 2015, we had guys like who was the guy with the colored teeth that like went to jail?
Oh, 6ix9ine.
6ix9ine, Takeshi 6ix9ine.
Something like that.
He was clearly manufactured, but people just didn't care. They're like, we know he's manufactured, but we don't care. Like we don't even want to engage in the mental process to care about that issue. We just want to be entertained, and we don't care if what's being sold to us isn't real. And we're going, and not even that. We just want entertainment. It's like, we'd rather accept what's being fed to us than use the mental willpower to think it through. And with a lot of these new Jack hardcore bands, I feel, not all of them, certainly, like Scowl, which we talk about all the time. Scowl's an amazing band and they're super cool. Jell is a super cool band.
Yeah.
But like a lot of the other new Jack hardcore bands, it's like you're just regurgitating what's been done before. You're mean mugging, but there's not anything behind it. And the audience, here's exactly what I'm talking about. When you go see a death metal band or a Viking metal band, and they're like, you know, we kill virgins, hail Satan, let's burn a church. Like, you drive a Toyota, and no one's acknowledging in that, like, you all are kind of acting as if you're engaging into some underground dangerous art or even something spiritual, but you're really just playing Dungeons and Dragons, because everything being said on stage isn't real at all. In that, like, you're not going around chopping off people's heads. You're not summoning demons. You're not burning churches. You're driving a Honda, which is fine. But just say to yourself, I'm really just playing Dungeons and Dragons here. And a lot of the new Jack hardcore bands are that exact same way. There's all these songs about being tough. And actually, and what annoys me, and I realize I'm droning on and on and on, but like a lot of the topics here are so cliche. And I've been hearing these cliches since the late 80s, you know, but like we're creating this fantasy. And instead of kind of thinking it through and either saying it is a fantasy, we're just saying to ourselves, this is cool. And we're all agreeing to engage in a fantasy that doesn't exist. And maybe deep down we know it's not real, but we're all pretending that it is real. And that's kind of what annoys me about some of these bands. So anyways, I don't know. I beat up with this band pretty bad, but I think they're fine. And I think there's a lot worse bands. I just am not interested in a hardcore band doing the same kind of hardcore that I've been hearing for 20 years at this point. But, you know, to each their own. And we've got one last story. Do we have one other? Oh, Linda Lindis.
We have actually, two, yeah.
So yeah, Linda, so here's something I did like. Linda Lindis, too many things. After, yeah, hardcore isn't tough enough for me. They're all posers. They're not tough. They think they're tough. John knows what's tough. Anyway, here's Linda Lindis, which I really liked. So anyway, Linda Lindis have a new track called Too Many Things. I dug it. It sounds very Linda Lindis. Didn't totally blow me away, but it kind of had that pop punk thing going. It was catchy. Yeah. Sounded good. But here's the question, Emma Moore. Linda Lindis had so much hype behind them with Stupid Racist Boy. And they had one other, was that one song? It's like, I'm Growing Up or whatever that song was.
Growing Up.
Yeah. Is the Linda Lindis party over or what's the deal? And honestly, we really need to update our picture here because kids from that are like 14, 15, 13 grow so quickly that our picture, even though it's only like a year and a half old, is so out of date. You know what I mean? They look totally different. Then our picture, the one kid looks like she's about 9, and now if you look at the picture, she, you know. At any rate, so we definitely need to update our Linda Lindis picture. And more.
We do.
The Linda Lindis party, is it over?
I don't think the Linda Lindis party is over. I think the Linda Lindis party is still raging, but they're not getting as much push as they did.
Why?
And I don't know. This is what I'm trying to figure out. It's like, because you see bands that get pushed all the time, regardless of anything. You know what I mean?
Like who?
Well, like...
Name names, Em Moore. Name names. Now that's just you and me, Em. We got to get... Em, now that's just you and me. We got to get real. Enough of this fumfering, you know, say, oh, you know, so-and-so. You know, we need to get... The fans want specifics, Em. Talk trash.
Let's see. Okay.
Who gets pushed that should not get pushed?
Well, I'm just trying to think of, like, who's, like, big and who gets, like, everything. So, okay. Well, let's just go with Morrissey because that's what I can – you mentioned him earlier, and now that's what I'm thinking about.
But he was massively famous for years, so of course he's going to get pushed. You know, I mean, the Smiths act – like, people talk about the Smiths like they were some underground band. Smiths sold millions and millions of records. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like Morrissey was massively famous for a lot of years, and he still is massively famous. And like I said, I don't care. I don't agree with the live what he says, but god damn, is he awesome live and he makes some great music. I don't care, Em. I don't care.
Okay, so now I need to think of like someone younger who gets a lot more push. Well, like, what's a band that you can't like turn around without seeing? That this is what I'm trying to figure out because I know there are some. In my bubble that it's like, I don't know.
While Em Moore thinks about this, I'm going to tell kind of old school punk news stuff that doesn't even really exist anymore, is from a period of time from about 2007 or about 2012 or 13, there was a bunch of bands where their mom or their dad was like some CEO at like Google or Yahoo or even the music industry, and they would literally like try to like buy them fame, and that they would link up with an independent record label and then fund the record label. And they would hire top tier publicists. They would they would book these massive tours and then they would like buy themselves on the Warped Tour. And they would sort of say, can we just pump a ton of money into this and make my kid famous? There was one, I can't remember his last name. Back then, the punk news readers absolutely hated these bands. They absolutely hated them, which I kind of still hate them. But now people are kind of more receptive to just accepting bullshit. But also, this doesn't exist anymore because the experiment itself was kind of failed. But the guy was Matt something. It was like Matt Dyson or Matt Dixon or something, who was like the archetypal of this, in that like he was just some rich guy, rich lady's kid, and they like they hired like the same publicist as Paul McCartney might use or something, you know what I mean? And it's like Matt Dyson's going on tour, and everyone be like we would all be like behind this, like Matt Dyson, who the hell was Matt Dyson? And they would try to like force it down people's throats, and it never worked. I don't think the only one that sort of worked was Be Your Own Pet or whatever, and that only barely worked for a period of time. Let me see if I can look up this guy's name. No, was it Matt something? I want to say Maddie Grace, but it wasn't Maddie Grace.
No, it's not Maddie Grace.
It was Matt something. Oh, man. That guy's name. I actually found like a signed CD of his years and years later for $1. And I almost bought it. And I kind of wish I did. And I would say, oh, I'll show this to Adam White. But then Adam White left punk news, so it doesn't really matter anyways. But like this was like way back in 2007, 2008. Matt, So the point being is, major labels certainly still do pump a lot of money into artists, but what we don't see in the rock context is these young people trying to be bought careers. So anyway, Emma, what was your example of someone that gets a lot of push that shouldn't?
I'm still looking, because all I can think of is like older bands or like, you know, like the Foo Fighters, they get a lot of push. You know what I mean?
That's because Nirvana was like the most famous band in the world.
I know.
And Dave Grohl is such a schmuck that everyone loves.
Well, like, this is the thing where it's like, I'm having trouble finding what I'm trying to like figure out, you know? Because that's cool. What's that? But like, I know that there are some.
Matt Toca. That was it.
What?
Matt Toca. I'm going way back on this one, man.
I've 2012. Never heard.
I reviewed this record. Holy shit.
Wait, what?
Matt Toca was, no, it was horrible. He was one of these guys where his mom, this guy was the height of a symbol on Reprise Records, where like tried to like buy his fame. And Matt Toca, yeah, wow. I wonder if any listeners even remember this guy. This was 11 years ago. Wow.
What did you give it?
4 out of 10, which is exactly dead on. I mean, like 2 out of 10 is too mean. You know what I mean? But like 4 out of 10 is fine. There was another guy who was a like Matt Toca, where someone said, "Hey, do you want to interview this guy?" I don't think it was Matt Toca. It was some other guy. And I was like, well, you know, this is when I was doing a lot more interviews, and I was like, well, you know, I'm working on my interview skills, and maybe this guy does have something to say. And the press release says, like, Stevie Jim or whatever his name was is very anti-bullying. He's really made it a point to be against bullying, and he started this foundation to fight bullying. I'm like, okay. So I interview him. I'm like, yeah, man. So like bullying, like what's the deal with that? Like why is that so important to you? And he's like, yeah, bullying. Uh-huh. I'm like, why is it important to you? And he's like, well, it's not really. Like, he didn't even know that, like, that was his angle. You know what I mean?
Oh, so. My God, that's awful. That is painful.
It was rough, you know? I'm like, well, that proves that. Anyway, Matt Toca. I wonder what Matt Toca is up to now. Wow. That name means absolutely nothing to M.
But it does not.
That was, like, that was the big deal in 2012, man.
I'm looking him up now, though. He is. Apparently still making music?
He is? No way.
Wait, is he?
I don't think so.
Let me see.
I'd be very surprised.
Oh, nope. He only had the one album in 2018.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was
2012. 2012.
He had another one in 2018, I think.
He did? Matt Toca?
What's the one in 2012 called?
Matt Toca.
This one's called Straight to Hell in 2018. Oh, yeah.
I actually vaguely remember that because I was surprised that even then he was doing something. That's right. Let's see.
Bam. I don't know what he's doing now. Let's see. Can I find? Oh, that is.
And this is supposed to be a short episode. We're already hitting an hour.
That's fine. We have pressing matters to find out about.
Wow, man, Matt Toca.
Oh,
wow.
His last Instagram post was in 2017.
Let me see what he says, and then we'll wrap up this episode with one more story, man.
His art or his Wikipedia page is like 3 sentences.
Hope everyone's having a great holiday. Everything on my site is 50% off for Cyber Monday. Use Toca 50 at matttoca.com. Thanks for all your support.
Like it says on Wikipedia, he's still active, but you can't trust Wikipedia. What happened to this guy? He just disappeared.
He probably got a real job. You know what I mean? Like,
well,
his mom tried to make him famous for almost 10 years. And then I guess he realized, well, it ain't happening. So,
yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, if your parents can try to buy you fame, they probably have a good setup going.
Well, that's not even his real name. Matt Toca's stage name.
Oh. Wait, is it supposed to be like Toca, like weed?
I don't think so. I just think it's maybe, just I don't know.
Something he decided on was like, this sounds cool.
Yeah, interesting. Well, our final story of the evening, which is not Matt Toca related,
no,
is is the following that I lost track of?
Military Gum.
Oh, Military Gum. They announced their debut LP, which I thought came out a long time ago. No. I've seen Military Gun like once or well, at least actually just once. I saw them open for Spice, or maybe no Spice. No, Spice opened for them, and I left because I was so bored. And I thought for sure this band had an album out already, but I guess
they released two EPs, and they collected the two EPs and released those together.
I guess well, yeah. At any rate, Military Gun is sort of, I mean, like they're even sort of pitched as what's that quote, hardcore band that everyone loves that is not a hardcore band and that's not good?
Turnstile?
Yeah. They're Turnstile like light, they're even like pitched as that. And Turnstile and Military Gun are not hardcore. And I don't mean they're not hardcore and therefore are bad. I'm just saying they're not hardcore. They don't have any of the hallmarks of the hardcore genre. Why are we saying they're hardcore? I guess with Turnstile, they sort of were hardcore light when they started, but now they're just a pop band. By contrast, this Military Gun track, I mean, why are we saying this is hardcore? This is Third Eye Blind. Like, that's what this is. It's Third Eye Blind. I wish you would step back from that bridge, my friend. Ledge, my friend. I will understand. I will. Like, this is Third Eye Blind. Why are we calling this hardcore when it's not hardcore at all? And B, why is anyone pretending this is good because this is Third Eye Blind and Third Eye Blind is not good?
Well, first of all, Military Gun, I think they get the hardcore distinction because Ian Shelton, the frontman, one of his other projects is Regional Justice Center, which is Power Violence. So I think it's one of those like, oh, you know, he did this. So everything that he does moving forward must be tied to hardcore in some way, shape, or form. I also think that anything that has maybe like a little more aggressive vocals or certain like riff patterns will fall under hardcore. Just as a broad classifier, there are some more hardcore leaning songs on their All Roads Lead to the Guns EP or EPs, sorry. So maybe this is just this song that they released for this one, Very High. Maybe it's one of the non-hardcore tracks and like there will be more on the album. That's the only thing I can really think of. I agree. Turnstile started out as a hardcore band and then they evolved their sound and became something a little bit different. But Military Gun, it's hard to kind of pinpoint. Like they have some hardcore elements, but not a lot. I do like the band and I do like the Very High song they put out, but I think maybe it's just an easy classifier where it's like, I don't know where to put this band. I don't know what they fall under. Like, you know, would you classify this as alternative rock? Maybe, but it's a bit more, you know, like raspy, or it's a bit more like it's shorter, or, you know, like there's just something there. I think people are stretching for labels and I think we're moving more towards like a genreless kind of place. So maybe people are just grasping at straws. I don't really know. Whatever floats your boat.
I want something else to get me through this semi-charm kind of life, baby. I want something else. I'm not listening when you say goodbye. Do 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 do. The sky was gold, it was rose. I was all right, that's enough of that. Anyway. I don't know. Is this genreless or is it bland, people? You tell me. Listen, I am glad that Enmore enjoys this because, Enmore listens to some pretty heavy music. I'm like, damn, I think I'm tough, but Enmore is listening to even more savage stuff. So I like when I like more savage stuff than Enmore. So this makes me feel good about myself. So I guess Military Gun wins in that fashion. I mean, listen, like what you like, but I feel like it's bland, honestly. You know, and I feel like we could demand more from our artists. That's what I'm saying, bro. That's what I'm saying.
Interesting. Yes.
And what song should we send them on out with?
Ooh, how about, well, we already played that song. Let's do Spy with Big Man.
Next week, do 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 do.